but there may be some things a little different. You can always always learn. But we're going to get back into our series tonight on the Christian mindset of influence. And this is our third installment within this section. And you know, each installment have been at least two parts in it, two sermons. But we want to talk about influence, guys. We want to focus on this point because I believe in all my heart that the reason we're here, left on this earth, I think if God didn't want us to be an influence to the world today, He would have taken us out of it. We would serve no purpose in this world if we wasn't to be an influence under those around us. You got to go back and think about how you got saved and how you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You did so because you were influenced by someone or something. Something jarred you in your life. Something woke you up and brought you to the reality that if you didn't receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you would have to perish and pay for your own sins. That reality came to you by way of a gospel tract, a sermon, a song, a person preaching, a person witnessing to you, whatever it may have been. But somehow, some way, you were influenced by someone else or something in this world today. We have a guy over in Africa for years. He's not an American. He's a national that's over there. And he was giving his testimony one time on how he got saved. And he would walk 15 miles to work throughout that bush. And he remembers one time walking and he sees this piece of paper, wadded up piece of paper, you know, just rolling along the way. And, of course, when you're out in that vast open area, you can see things, you know, quite a long distance. And as it's going, he's walking and it's going. And if you think about a graph, they just kind of met in the middle together, one with another. Here's this piece of rubbish that's rolled along the floor out there and outside in the bush or the desert or wherever he is that you would be in Africa. And he bent down, he picked that thing up, and believe it or not, it was a fellowship track lead from Ohio, gospel track in his own language, in Swahili. He read that track, he got saved. He got born again. Took that track home, and his family got saved, got born again. And he surrendered to preach, became a pastor, and is pastoring and planting churches over there in his home area. So, guys, listen, somewhere along the line, from the printing press of Dayton, Ohio, all the way to Africa, someone had an influence on that guy. And that's why we're here today and left in this world today, so that we can influence people in this world. We're not forcing Christianity on anyone. There's not a mandate, or we're not charged with going out into this world today and cause people or force them to be converted to Christianity. That's not what the Lord's interested in. What He's interested in is people being converted through the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. And the only way that's going to happen is if His people, we become an influence in this world. And just as a reminder, guys, the word influence is defined as the capacity to have an effect on the character, the development, or the behavior of someone or something. We've talked about in this portion of the series, we've talked about your fear, we've talked about fruit, we've talked about your fear, guys, being answered through the relationship with the Father, and its relationship with the Father. As that relationship increased, once you realize that you have a place, a promise, a power, and prayer, guys, you can overcome the fear in this life, and therefore the Father's relationship can be an influence to you, and then giving you the ability to be an influence to others. Last time, or last week, we finished up talking about the answer to our fruit. And the answer to our fruit is directly associated with our relationship with the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has a desire that our joy be full, that we're part of His fruitful vine. He says in John 15:5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. So when you stop and you think about the fruit in your life, and you have to ask yourself this question. I remember one of the first vacation Bible schools we had down in Guyana. That was the whole theme, was the fruit of the Spirit. And we were plucking off branches from outside, and there was these things called monkey fruit, and it had sap all over them, and you get them stuck on your hands. It was a terrible illustration to use with a bunch of kids, about 120 kids, and they had sap all over them, and I had sap all over me, and things were getting stuck. It was just a mess. About 50 of them got saved, praise the Lord. I guess they figured they was either stuck or saved. They needed to make a choice there. We had iguana walking into the building. You name it, it was happening. But we were talking about that fruit. And I would tell these kids that here's 9 fruit of the Spirit that the Lord has laid out for us in Galatians chapter 5. But you can ask yourself, what fruit are you bearing in this world today? What fruit are you bearing beyond just the fruit of the Spirit, which is for the benefit of others and always will be for the benefit of others? What fruit are we bearing in our life, my friend? Guys, we're only going to bear fruit if we sow seeds into other people's lives. And again, it is relationship-based. And Jesus Christ said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. So if He's the vine, He's the heart and soul of the whole matter. And then we are to reach out into this community, reach out into our world, reach out to those that are in our life and try to bear fruit in their life, making a difference. Personally, I believe tonight that being an influence in this world today is one of the most vital roles that we should ever play. I believe, according to the Holy Scripture, the Holy Word of God, that it is the primary purpose that we're remaining on this earth. I mean, and again, I said this morning, I'm saying it again, and I've said it multiple times, that guys, if you're an influence for one person, if you're an influence to one person for the Lord Jesus Christ in this world today, it is worth every drop of sweat, every drop of blood, every money that's spent, every ounce of labor, every bit of toil that came into your life. It's worth every bit of it if you influence just one soul for the Lord Jesus Christ. I love this quote by Winston Churchill on 13th of May, 1940, as he addressed his cabinet for the first time in the midst of a really losing battle, if you look back at that period of time. He said, I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, and sweat. Yeah, he said, that's all I have to offer. In other words, the only thing I have to offer is to get into the trench with you, to get muddy, get dirty, and get busy, and just get to work. And beloved, if we stop and we think about our Christian life tonight, guys, we can't be afraid of a little bit of labor in our world today. We should not be afraid of a load of labor. We shouldn't be afraid of sweat. We shouldn't be afraid of blood. Churchill was speaking to encourage the people of Great Britain concerning fighting a war that was physical, a war that was emotional, a war that was mental. And beloved, we need to understand that we're in the midst of fighting an age-old war today. We're in the midst of fighting an age-old war that's been going on since the very first week of creation. We find that this war that is happening, this thing that is occurring in the world today, it's made up of many battles, and the strategies and tactics may change every hour by hour, but our labor and our purpose should never vary, should never waver. It's going to require work, it's going to require labor, and it's going to require sweat. Beloved, I've said this time and time again, but laziness is something that has earmarked our movement for way too long. Undisciplined and undetermined lifestyles have categorized us as Baptists for decades on end. And today we're reaping a crop of wayward youth and dying churches. And beloved, there are some things that we must be willing to labor for. I believe there are some things that we should be willing to fight for. And at the top of that list should be the lives and the souls of men, women, and children. Oftentimes, guys, one of the battles that we have, it's a waiting game. I'll tell you this, for us, is I remember the day that I was called to preach. It was actually an evening service, and I went down to the altar and I bowed my head and I said, Lord, I'll preach in any capacity that you have me to preach. I had no idea what I was even agreeing to at that time, but I said, Lord, I'll preach in whatever venue, whatever capacity you would have me to preach. I will preach for you. I'm sold out for you. I will serve you. This is what I'll do for you. And I submitted myself right then and there that very night. When I got up off of that altar, in my mind, in my heart, I was like this. Hey, you know what? I got right, then you need to get right. And then every time you meet, you know what it's like. You go back to those days. You curse the day of the creation of the tape recorder, amen, because you like to go back and burn all those things, amen. I mean, listen, you're persecuting the saints when you're preaching those first few hundred messages. You know, we figured, hey, listen, we got right. It's time for you to get right now. And so it's hard to learn that patience. I'm not a very patient person just by nature anyway, especially in the car. I can't stand red lights, don't like stop signs. I like to keep moving. I like to go to point A, point B, be done with it. That's me. But in Christianity and having a mindset of influence, it is a game of patience. It is a strategic battle that is placed. And beloved, we have to understand that typically, most of the times, our greatest competitor, our greatest obstacle, our greatest opposition is going to be ourselves, battling with those patients. But we're encouraged, as Paul said. He said, fight the good fight of faith. Paul said, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I want you to think about that just by indication alone tonight. If Paul says, fight the good fight of faith, just by indication, it's possible to fight a bad fight, isn't it not? Anytime there's a boxing match, anytime there's an MMA or a football game or a rugby match, whatever, there's going to be a winner and there's going to be a loser. Coach Paul Bear Bryant, the greatest coach that ever lived, he back when they used to allow ties in college football, they would ask him, are you going to go for two? Are you going to go for the touchdown? Are you going to go for the tie? Are you going to try the game? Are you going to try to tie the game up? And Coach Bryant would just look over. He says, listen, a tie ball game is like kissing your sister. That just should never happen, you know. And that was Bear Bryant. He wanted to win. Win or lose, he wanted to win. He didn't want to tie the game. He wanted to win. And, guys, we ought to fight a good fight in this Christian world that we live in today. We ought to notice and recognize who the enemy is and what they're trying to do. The enemy today is trying to keep the souls of men, women, and children lost as the day is long. They want to convince them that there is no God. They want to convince them that this book right here is only a book written by men. They want to convince them that there's nothing out on there on the outside. There's nothing for them. They want to hold them down and keep them deceived today. That's what the enemy wants to do. We need to recognize that. And we need to play our plan ahead and do what needs to be done so that we can influence them and influence these souls and influence our friends, our family, influence our neighbors, our classmates, our coworkers, whomever it may be. Influence them for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the Christian mindset, guys, of influence tonight. And it does start with overcoming that fear. It does start with finding that fruit in our life. Paul was an influence in his life. He told the church at Philippi, "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. And he believed in being an influence to souls around them. Beloved, what we need to be busy about is business. So just as the Lord influences us, just as we talked about the first two topics of this particular portion of the series, we understood that the Father is an influence unto us, and that's what gives us the ability to overcome fear. We understand that the Son of God, Jesus Christ, is an influence to us, and that's what enables us to have fruit in this life. And by having those two avenues, guys, we can influence others in the same. But tonight I want to talk to you about a different topic. I want to talk to you not only about the relationship with the Father and the relationship with the Son, but tonight I want you to be influenced and see our influence as we look in John 16. It's our influence of our faith, and it is directly associated with our relationship with the Holy Spirit of God, with the Holy Spirit of God, the third entity of the Holy Trinity. In John chapter 16 is where you should be tonight. I'm going to ask you to stand as we honor the reading of the Word of God, John chapter 16, and we'll read the verse 7 verses, have a brief moment of prayer, and then we'll dig into this thing tonight and see what the Lord has in store for us. The Bible says here in John 16, looking with me in verse 1, the Bible says, "These things have I spoken unto you, these things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended," he said. You should not be offended, amen. He says, "They shall put you out of the synagogues, yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me. And none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." Father in heaven, we pray tonight. Did you have your will and your way in our lives? I ask you to open up our hearts, tend to our minds, dear Father, I pray, in a great way that we may understand your word. And Father, we may write it upon the table of our heart. That, dear God, it may change our actions, our reactions. Father, we pray tonight that we would begin to build upon the relationship that you've given us with the Father and with the Son. Father, tonight, let us focus on the Holy Spirit of God, that entity that's dwelling within every born-again believer in this world today. I pray that we would get something out of the Scriptures this evening that would make great and wonderful changes in our lives so that a difference may be made, not only in the lives of ourselves, but in the lives of those that are around us. Father, help us, I pray, be an influence in this world today for you. And we ask these things in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen. And amen. Thank you so much. Please be seated. So we see here in John chapter 16 and verses 1 through 7, just by way of introduction, within this chapter, the Holy Spirit of God is mentioned in some way over 15 times. Namely, the first half of the chapter is when you find most of the conversations about the Holy Spirit of God. But what we need to understand tonight, the importance of the Holy Spirit of God, the reality of why Jesus Christ said, "I will send him. I will send him." We find here that it's through the Holy Spirit of God that the world is judged and the world is convicted. Sin in our own life, we are convicted of greatly. And it's that which it is the Holy Spirit of God that moves a soul to seek the needed salvation by faith.
Most people today will speak of revival as if it is something that's just of the past, something that's never going to happen again. I was having conversations the other day with a guy that just believes that the Bible and God and all of the and the church and religion as a whole is nothing more than something that is for a time gone past, as if we have evolved into a greater state today, and we don't need the idea of a God or, as he said, a magic place in the sky. I'm here to tell you today, guys, that you know what? God created us. We're here today solely for him and by him today. And here's what we need to understand. It is not just the saved in this world that are here to give glory to God. There's going to come a time, there's going to come an hour at the end of days where every single knee shall bow, everything that has breath shall give adoration, shall give glory to God the Father in heaven and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. And guess what? They're going to do it by force. Amen. That means Satan himself will bow the knee and glorify God. That means the false prophet will bow the knee and glorify God. In my opinion, when it says that everything that has breath, every part of this creation that breathes will bow and give glory to God. For 60 minutes, we know, according to the book of Revelation, that is going to happen. We're given a choice today. We're given a choice to glorify God in the world that we live right now. We're given a choice to accept Christ as our Lord and Savior and then to go forward into this community, into the cities, into the counties, into the country and be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, be an influence on those that are around us. So my friend, when we speak of revival today, revival is not something that God has written Ichabod over the United Kingdom and over Wales and over the valleys. God hasn't done that. If God was done with this land or any land for that matter, you and I would not be here tonight. We wouldn't be here. Christ would have already came back, taken his home. So people speak of a revival as if it'll never happen again in the valleys, or it'll never happen in any city or village, as if it's an impossibility. I know this to be a fact tonight. Listen, God is still sat on the throne. He's not willing that any should perish. He's not finished with this world. He's not finished with you. He's not finished with me. He's not finished with anyone. And he seeks people to be saved, but he wants his people in this world to go forward and be an influence. D.M. Patton said that it's a foolish blunder to suppose any age to be too evil for revival. And the temptation's there, isn't it? The temptation's there when you beat the streets and you knock the doors and you witness to your co-workers and you pass tracts out and you try to share the gospel with people and they come up with every excuse. They come up with every reason why not to believe. They blame every tragedy in the world today. They blame all the politics. They blame all their troubles, their problems. Well, if there's a God up in heaven, then you know what? Then he wouldn't allow this to happen. And we hear it all the time. And the temptation to say, Lord, what are we doing here? The temptation to just say, you know what? I don't understand. This world's just too dark. It's just too far gone. The temptation is there. And when that temptation comes in, when you're tempted to say, look, I'm going to throw up my hands. I'm going to write my letter of resignation from the witnessing world. I'm going to do that. When that temptation comes into your life, let me encourage you to think about this. But Josiah saw Israel turned, backwards. Listen, they were in the temple, the holy temple that was built to house the Holy Spirit of God. And those pagans were in there worshiping the groves and worshiping the false gods. They were passing their children before the fire down in the valley of Gehenna. They were doing all of those. Listen, they were God's chosen people, and yet they turned their back on God. And Josiah, who took the reign as a king at the age of 8 years old, years later on when the Word of God was found in the temple, read the Word of God and was warned as to what was going to happen, and it was still going to happen. He knew that God was going to judge the land. He knew that Israel, the whole nation, would go into captivity. He knew all of that was still going to occur. And you know what he did? He stood up and did the right thing. The Bible says he veered neither to the right hand nor to the left hand. So when you're tempted to say the world's too far gone, when you're tempted to look at one particular person and say they're lost and they'll never be saved, when you're tempted to look at them, go back and think of Josiah's day. Go back and think of Nineveh as Jonah went in there and preached a 9-word message in the entire city. Repented. Go back and think of those towns and those cities because they're there for an example unto us. I go back to my own self. I was unworthy. I didn't deserve to be saved. I didn't deserve to be born again. As a matter of fact, everybody on this planet should have given up on me. And probably if the truth was there, the majority probably already did. But it was because of one faithful man, one faithful young friend of mine who kept persistently witnessing to me and asking me to go see his preacher. I stand before you today at 48 years old, saved and born again on my way to heaven.
So guys, I'm here to tell you, when you're tempted to give up, when you're tempted to put it down, when you're tempted to say, you know what, the world's too far gone, you go back and you think of how far we were. You know, people say, I can't believe it. It makes no sense to the world today that a shepherd would leave 99 sheep and go after one. That doesn't make a lick of sense in the business world, does it? In the business world, guys, you've got to please the majority. At least that's what you should do. Morons do try to please the minority, but there's certain people that do that, and they think it's going to work, and it doesn't. It opens a Pandora's box, and I'll leave that one there. But I'm here to tell you this. In the business world, for a CEO to put down his pen and paper, walk out of his office, and go after that one person when he's got 99 other to deal with that are doing their job, that are doing what they should do, doesn't make any sense, does it, brother? But if you're that one sheep, see, it makes all the sense in the world if you're the one sheep out wandering. It makes all the sense in the world that Christ would be an influence unto you when you were the one wandering out in the bush. I'm here to tell you tonight, guys, God has given us an opportunity in this life to be an influence to those one sheep that are out there, those ones that are careless, those ones that are just doing their own thing, those ones that, you know, they ain't got time for everybody else, those ones that are argumentative with you maybe about the Scripture, those ones that may even mock out the Word of God and mock out Christianity, those ones that tell you that you're just leaning on a crutch. Faith is for weak-minded people. Those are the ones that Christ wants us to influence. That's why the relationship with the Father was important to overcome that fear of going after the one. That's why the relationship with the Son was so vital in being an influence so that you can go after that one and see fruit come about. But my friend, it doesn't stop there. That's why the relationship with the Holy Spirit of God is so vitally important tonight so that you can have faith to go do what Christ has called us to do, to be a witness to that one sheep out in the woods wandering away, so that we may witness to him and do what Christ would have us to do. You can't do it in your own strength. You can't do it in your own mind. But you can do it through the Holy Spirit of God tonight. Right. Pick up where we left off there in John chapter 16. We're going to read a handful of verses tonight. I'm going to say a few closing remarks, and we're going to call it here this evening. But I want to encourage you tonight that you grab a hold of what you've heard about being an influence in this world today, because you can't do it by yourself. Can I let you know this? You can't do it with your own talents. God will give you a talent in this world today to use for Him. But if you put your faith and your dependence and your trust in that talent to try to win people to Christ, it ain't going to happen. It's only going to be through Him. There's a power source in this world that Christ has given us. There's a power source that the Lord has given us to trust and put our faith into. And if you're here tonight and you're saved and born again, that source is within you this evening. John chapter 16, let's read verse 7 once more, just by way of context. It says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he," speaking of the Holy Spirit, "the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, and he shall receive of mine, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you." My friend, there's too many in this world today that are trying to live a Christian life. There's too many in this world today that are trying to expect a revival to happen in this life through their own power and their own strength. And this is where we get synthetic hope. This is where we get synthetic hype. This is where we get synthetic, emotional preaching, the plasticity of false doctrine being taught and preached by leaders who are deceived and going forward and deceiving others. This is where that comes from, because people are trying to do it in their own strength and their own mind. Beloved, you can't do that today. If you want to be an influence in this world today for Jesus Christ, if you want to be an influence to the lost and dying,
you're going to have to place your faith and your dependence in something that's greater than you, that's greater than me, that's greater than anything in all of this creation. And it's inside of you this evening. It's the Holy Spirit of God. C.H. Spurgeon said, without the Spirit of God, we can do nothing. He said, we are ships without wind, we are branches without sap, like coals without fire. He goes on to say, we are useless. Now, most people say, preacher, that's pretty hard to tell people that they're useless. I didn't say that. Spurgeon said that. But I am repeating him, and I do believe him. If you take the Spirit of God away from us today, if we try to do it in our own strength, it's going to come to nothing. If we try to do it in our own mind, our own trust, our own mechanics, if we try to do it in our own way, it's going to come to nothing. But we want to be an influence tonight. I didn't intend for this thought here that I'm about to say to be such a grave point in this message, but it's a waiting game. It's going to take patience. I would probably say the greatest deficit that we have in human nature is probably patience. We spend a load of time waiting at red lights, waiting in the queue, and grocery store, wherever it may be, we do. And most of the time, we don't like it. I don't like it. I'll be honest with you. But in all fairness, if we're going to influence people today, it's going to take patience. Because I don't know about you. I know you've been working with people for years on. I know there's probably people that you've been praying for over a decade. I know. I sit down with people on a weekly basis, sometimes on a daily basis. And I chat with them about their life. I talk to them about what's going on in the world. I talk to them about what's going to happen in eternal life. And sometimes, guys, I feel like I'm just talking to that wall. There's times that I feel like nothing is moving. But you know what? I got to keep doing it in the power that Christ has given me and given you. And that's the Holy Spirit. Because my job and your job is to be an influence. My job and your job is to witness. It's the Holy Spirit's job to move the people to salvation. So it is a waiting game. It's a game of patience tonight. It is a strategy to where the tactics change sometimes, hour by hour, but the purpose will never vary. The purpose will never waver. And that is to drive somebody to the cross. Get Calvary in somebody's sight. Get a dying Savior on a cross who was put there and placed there by their own personal sins. If you get that between their mind, between their eyes, and within their sights, let the Holy Spirit of God do the rest of the work. Let the Holy Spirit of God that is within you move that soul by conviction of their own sins and their need of that Savior that is on that cross. And then show them that empty tomb and they'll get saved. But the bottom line tonight is this, guys. We can't do it alone. We've got to trust in the Comforter that was sent by the Son of God. The one that we are abiding in so that we may have fruit. Who the Father sent to save mankind, which is our answer to overcoming our fear. That's how we're going to see our faith thrive into the lives of others. Will you bow your heads tonight? Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity and time to be here. Lord, I thank you for your word. And I ask you this evening to make a difference in the lives of those present. Make a difference in the lives of those that may hear this message. And Father, I ask you to help us, Father. I pray that the Holy Spirit of God that you have given us, that he would lead, guide, and direct us in our every step, that you would open up these doors, Father, that you would open up doors of hearts and minds and souls of all of those that we come in contact with every single day, that the Holy Spirit would do the convicting, that he would do the moving, Father, that we would be just a mere vessel, meet for the Master's use. Father, help us go after that one lamb, that one sheep that's wandering astray. Help us remember that day when we were that same one, so the difference may be made in their life, both here and in eternity. Father, we ask these things this evening in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. I trust and pray that